Good morning to everybody. Shavua Tov, Gutvach. I'd like to do something a little bit different this morning. I think it's something I've touched upon years past, possibly in a drasha, but I don't believe I've ever discussed this in the Sunday morning shiur. I'd really like to take a very careful look at the Haftorah. The Haftorah for Parshas Naso is a very well-known, famous Haftorah. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. The Haftorah, the birth of Shimshon, and the obvious connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha, of course, is the fact that Parshas Naso discusses the Nazir. And Shimshon, of course, is what's referred to as a Nazir Mibeten. From birth, Shimshon is destined to be a Nazirite. But I'd like to take a different look at the Haftorah and share with you an insight as to why I think there is a very strong correlation, specifically, and a deeper connection, possibly, between the Haftorah and the Parsha. Let's begin for a moment with a well-known Chazal. Rashi quotes it. I referenced it in the Drasha that we sent out on Thursday, but I'd like to share, I guess, a different way to look at this Maimar Chazal. As you're familiar, Parshas Naso juxtaposes the Parsha of the Sota and the Parsha of the Nazir. The Sota is the wayward woman, a woman who is suspected by her husband of illicit relations. She is destined on some level to either be found innocent or guilty. If she's innocent, she will be worthy of having children. And if not, she will ultimately be punished heavily, severely, as the Torah describes in great detail, what will occur to her. That's the Parsha of the Sota. Juxtaposed to the Parsha of the Sota is the Parsha of the Nazir. The Nazir is the Nazirite. He or she who is prohibited from drinking wine, from being the Tamei Lameis, is required to grow his or hair long. And that is the Parsha of the Nazir. Seemingly, the Nazir is somebody who takes upon a higher level of asceticism, somebody who is interested in cleaving to God in a very different way than the Jew ordinarily does. I don't want to take the time now to discuss whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, positive or negative. If we're all familiar, of course, that at the end of the Parsha, the Nazir is required to bring a korban, seemingly speaking to the fact that it was not a good thing that he or she did by taking on a nazirus. And Chazal understand, really, the Gemara says, a nazir, that a nazir isn't the greatest thing. That's not what the Jew is supposed to do. That's not what we are required to do. That's not what we should pine to do. We're not supposed to remove ourselves from the world. We're not supposed to abstain from wine, from grapes, from anything that comes from the grapevine. We're not supposed to not be metame lameis. We're not supposed to grow hair long. Those are all things that are very extreme forms of asceticism, although there's a time and a place and a moment for that particular person. But on the general or broader spectrum, that's not really where we are and what we're supposed to do. However, Chazal do note that kol haroe sota bekul kula, Yazir Atzmo Minayayin. The reason for the juxtaposition of the Parsha of the Sota and the Parsha of the Nazir is because somebody who sees the experience of the Sota, witnesses, eyewitnesses the events in the Mikdash when the Sota occurs, the majestic and miraculous experience, either of childbirth or of our stomach being exploding, is such an awesome experience, an eye-opening experience. It's almost like Yad Hashem brought somebody to see that. Yazir Atzma Minayayin, you have the opportunity, the possibility, the choice to become a Nazir at that point. So there are different types of Naziris. There's a Nazir, like we'll read about in the Haftorah, which is Mibeten, that the parent decides that the child is going to be a Nazir. There's a Nazir who decides to do so for Shloshim Yom, for a requisite amount of 30 days. And there's the Nazir in this particular circumstance who decides upon his or her own volition, as a result of seeing this event, this experience of the Sota, Yazir Atzmo Minayayin. And as I noted on Thursday in the Drasha, many of the Mefarshim question Chazal, what really is the correlation between witnessing the events of the Sota and deciding to abstain from wine and becoming a Nazir? One of the approaches is that the ability to see something is so powerful. When somebody sees something so awesome and so eye-opening and really so revealing, the experience of the Sota and everything that surrounds it and the miracle that takes place, and by the way, parenthetically, I'll mention that when it comes to halachic decision making, never do we employ miracles or simanim min hashemayim, signs from heaven to decide one's innocence or guilt. But here that is the case. We decide this woman's innocence or guilt, whether or not she had an inappropriate or illicit relationship out of her marriage, is completely decided upon this miracle. So that is an awesome experience and something striking to see. Therefore, the experience of witnessing this event and seeing what occurs to the Sota is so phenomenal and is so awesome that an individual needs to do something about it and do something with it. And therefore, the Nazir experience piggybacks or is the natural outgrowth of witnessing what takes place to the Sota. So really what emerges about the Nazir, and really in line with what we see about the Sota, is that we see things, and what we see can be extraordinarily powerful. Chazal say it in a different way. They say, Eino dome shmia l'ri'ia. There's no difference, or there's a significant difference, I should rather say, between the sense of sight and the sense of hearing something. Hearing something is one thing. You could hear a rumor. You could hear something about somebody. And at the end of the day, it's very hard to know whether it's true or not. When you actually witness something, I witness something, it's extraordinarily powerful, and it leaves an indelible imprint and a mark on your mind, on your brain, and on your heart. That's why when it comes to testimony in Beis Din, the only testimony that we take seriously is if you see something, if you witness something. It's what we refer to as an eyewitness. When you vision is a very, very powerful tool. That's why a iver is chashuv kameh, somebody who doesn't see, is considered to be on some level not alive. As opposed to somebody who is hard of hearing, that's not as much of a loss of a sense, or in halacha, that's not something that's as much of a deficiency as somebody who doesn't see something. So sight, vision, and the ability to perceive something with one's own two eyes is an extraordinarily powerful sense, and the ability to see something is incredible. Thus, the juxtaposition between the parsha of the Nazir and the parsha of the Sota, the vision, the sight of seeing what occurs to the Sota, was such an incredibly impactful event that even though a Nazir is not something that we pine to do or try to do or require to do or even push a person to do, but the time and the opportunity to do such a thing is very much in concert with a person who sees and witnesses the event of the Sota. And therefore, for that reason, it's the appropriate time to yazir atzma minayin, to separate yourself from wine. With that background of sight, vision, let us take a more careful look at the Haftarah. And I think this backdrop will allow us to pick up on a particular aspect of the Haftarah that may often not get focused on enough. If you take a look in the Haftarah to Parshas Naso, in the Chumash that I'm using in the Stone Chumash, it's on page 1181. It's the Haftarah to Parshas Naso, if you have the Chumash, or if you have a Navi, it's found in Sefer Shoftim Perek Yud Gimel. And we are all familiar with the well-known background of Manoach and his wife, whose name we don't know, who is referred to as Eshes Manoach, the wife of Manoach. We don't know much about this couple, but we know that Manoach in Chazal has told us that he's an Ama Aretz. He's not a terribly wise man. He's not a scholarly person, an Ama Aretz. And his wife is an Akara. His wife is barren. Those are the facts on the ground. That's what the Pasuk tells us in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis, that there's a man from the city of Tzara, from the tribe of Dan. His name is Manoach. V'ishto Akar v'lo yelada. They are a married couple. His wife is barren, and they have no children. And amazingly, a malach, an angel, appears to the woman, and we pick up here in Pasuk Gimel, the second Pasuk in Haftarah, V'yomre leh, hine ne'atakara, you're a barren woman, v'lo yalata, and you have no children. V'haris v'yalata ben, and he foreshadows, the angel prophesizes and tells this woman, you are going to have a son. But more than that, and these are the Pasukim you have to read extraordinarily carefully. V'ata now. Hishamrina, be very careful and cautious. Valtishti yain mishechar, don't drink wine or any beverage that's intoxicating. Valtochli koltame, and don't eat anything that's ritually impure. Why? Ki hine hara vialarte bein, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. Umora lo yalel rosho, and you should not take a razor to his head. Kinizir elokim yeanar min habatan. This son of yours that is going to be born is going to be a nazir from birth. In the moment that this child leaves the uterus and comes into the world, this young man, this young boy, is going to be a nazir. And more than that, and he is going to be the savior, the salvation of the Jewish people from the Plishtim. The Plishtim, of course, at this time in the history of the Jewish people are in charge. They are the power and they are the force that is taking on Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. And therefore, it's Shimshon who is going to be the savior of Klal Yisrael, who's going to save the Jewish people from the Plishtim. Now, you could imagine, here's this simple woman from the small city or village of Tzara. Her husband's in Am Aretz. She receives a prophecy, and what does she do? She tells her husband in Pasuk Vava, Tavo Isha Ratomer Lisha Lemer, Isha Elokim Bailai. This angel, man of God, came to me. Umareu Kimara Malach Elokim. And the vision, and it seemed as if he is a angel of God. Umareu Kimara Malach Elokim. Nora Moda was frightening, she says. Velo Shel Teo Emi Huza. I didn't ask him his name, and he didn't ask me mine. It was sort of a not a typical communication. It wasn't one where we introduced ourselves and said, where are you from? You know, what yeshiva did you go to? But rather, it was a very calm, a very quiet, a very cordial meeting, but no terms were exchanged in terms of who I am and who you are. But he prophesied and explained to me what it is that I told you. And what is it that he said? And here, look again very carefully. Eishes Manoach describes to Manoach in detail exactly what it is that she heard. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer lo, hinei harav yilach tevein. You are going to conceive and have a son. Ve'ata, now al tishti yayin. Don't drink wine b'shechar or any intoxicating beverage. Val tochli kol tmei. And don't eat anything that's ritually impure. Ki nizir elokim ya'anar min habatan. You are going to have a son who is a nizir elokim, who is going to be a nazir from birth, ad yomos, until the time of death. That is the story. So the Malach comes to Eishes Manoach, tells Eishes Manoach exactly what we have just heard, and she then goes in turn to describe to her husband what it is that she heard. Now listen to Manoach's reaction. Vayater Manoach El Hashem. Manoach prays to God. Vayomer Biadoni Ish Elokim Asher Shalachta Yavon Aod Elena V'Yoreinu Man Asen Lanar Yulat. And this is the critical pasuk in the entire Haftarah. Let's get every word down. Manoach davens to God and he says, "Please, God, Ish Elokim, the man of God, this Malach Asher Shalach that you sent, Yavon Aod Elena, let him return again." And allow him to tell us what we should do with this child who will be born. And on this pasuk mefarshe, Hanavi raised multiple questions. All mefarshim asked the following: what did Manoach want from God to ask the angel to come again? What was he asking? Look again at his question. Vayareinu, tell us, manasa lanar yulad. What should we do with this lad, with this young boy who's going to be born? What do you mean? Eishes Manoach just told Manoach what it was. Don't allow the boy to eat any tameh. Don't allow the boy to drink. She shouldn't drink wine, and she shouldn't drink any intoxicating beverage, and she shouldn't touch anything tameh. So the halachas are known. The halachas are told. What else may Manoach want to hear from the angel that he didn't hear from his wife? She told him what the rules are. We're going to have a son who's going to be a nazir. He's going to be a nazir from childbirth. Mina bete. What do you do? Eishes Manoach tells Manoach, this is what you should do. Don't eat anything tameh. Don't drink wine. Don't drink any intoxicating beverage. What did he not understand? What is the God going to have the Malach come again? Does the Malach not have anything better to do than to return to tell Manoach what it was exactly that he already told his wife? What does Manoach want? What's Manoach's problem? And more than that, why does he not believe his wife? I mean, what's he disturbed about? It's a very simple message that Manoach received from his wife. What else is there to say? So number one, why did he not believe his not wife? Number two, what did he want to hear directly from the Malach that his wife couldn't have told him? And more than that, these are very simple halachas. Everybody knows a nazir. Ask anybody on the call now. We all know what a Nazir is. We all know the halachas. We know that a Nazir can't eat tame. The mother can't eat tame. We know that the kid can't eat tame. We know that the child is prohibited from certain actions. The child can't eat or drink any intoxicating beverage. He can't touch tame. So even though Manoach's an Am Haaretz, what was missing? What did Manoach want from the angel to come again? He knew everything about a Nazir. His wife told him about the Nazir. And certainly the Malach Elokim has more to do and greater things to do, more important things to do, than to return again and to explain exactly what it was that he just explained to Manoach. Those are the questions that the Mefarshim all ask on the Navi here in Shoftim Perek Beis, the Haftarah to Parashas Nasa. Surprisingly, look in Pasuk Tes, Vayishma Elokim b'kol Manoach. The God hears what it is that Manoach wants. Vayavu Malach Elokim ad Elisha. And the Malach comes a second time, not to who? Not to Manoach, but to the Isha. Vihi yosheves basada Manoach Isha inima. So the angel reappears, even though you could have suggested the angel said, I'm not coming back, I told you. And I told your wife, I don't have time, I'm busy with other missions that I have. But the angel comes back to Eishes Manoach, and unfortunately Manoach is not there. What does the good wife do? Vatimaher ha'isha vataratz vatagei le'isha. She runs to tell her husband, Hinei nirei la'isha shaba b'yom elai. You're not going to believe it. The man of God, the Malach Elokim, came and returned again. Manoach stops in his tracks. V'yakam v'yelach Manoach achre ishto. Manoach runs after his wife. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yavol ish, and comes to this godly man. V'yom lahata isha shedibat isha. Are you the man who appeared and spoke to my wife? And the Malach Elokim responds, V'yom rani, yes, that's me. V'yom Manoach, ata yavol divarecha mayen mishpat anar maseo. Please, tell me. What should we do? What's the conduct of this young boy? And how do we handle him? This is the question, remember, that Manoach asked his wife, what do we do? How are we going to handle this kid? Now listen to the answer again, and this is going to raise multiple other questions that the Mefarshe Hanavi asked. Everything that I told your wife, that's what you should do. I don't have anything to add. What is it? Anything that emerges from wine, from the grape, you shouldn't eat. Don't drink wine or any intoxicating beverage. And don't eat anything that's tameh. Everything that I described to your wife, that's what you should do. The angel repeats, right? Anything that comes from the grapevine, you shouldn't eat. Wine or intoxicating beverages, she shouldn't eat. And everything prohibited to a Nazir, she shouldn't eat as well. Observe all of those things. And here the Mefarshe Navi ask again, what did the Malach add that he didn't tell Eishes Manoach earlier, the day before? He tells her exactly the same thing. And more than that, why did the Malach have to come back again if he said, I told you already, I told your wife before? What's he coming back to add? What took place? What happened here? What's the addition? Is there any chiddush? Is there any innovation or anything novel or anything new that the Malach tells Manoach that he didn't tell his wife? And why did he have to come back? Nonetheless, if you continue in Pasuk Tezvav, Manoach is very pleased. Vayomer Manoach Malach Hashem, Natzer no suchav nasal fanecha gidizim. Thank you so much for coming. Let me make you a su'uda. Let me make you a meal. I'll make you some goats. We'll have a delicious meal. And the Malach responds, I would love to spend time with you, but I came back already. I took my time to tell you exactly what it was that I already told you and told your wife. And I simply don't have time. I'm in a rush. And they have some fine conversation. The end of the story, of course, at the end of the Haftarah, Pasuk Chavdal, Vateilar Isha Bein, this woman gives birth, Vatikra Shmo Shimshon, Vayigdal Hanav Revarcheo Hashem, and this young boy becomes the savior, is blessed by God, and of course becomes the well-known savior of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people. Indeed, he is a Nazir, he keeps his Naziros, and Klal Yisrael are successful under the reign and under the leadership of Shimshon. These questions that I just posed are the questions that almost all, as I mentioned, Mefarshe Hanavi raise. And I'd like now to share with you an insight of none other than Reb Shimon Schwab. Reb Shimon Schwab has an extraordinarily insightful approach to explain the Haftarah, explain what it was that was niggling at Manoach. What did he want so badly for the Malach to come back again? And let's take a look back at the Psukim, and you'll see something that bothers Manoach immensely. And this is what he wants. As we began at the outset, we all know that seeing something is extraordinarily powerful, as I described to you. Vision, sight, is something that is incredibly powerful. In the world of education, there are two ways that we are able to teach. You could teach by a lesson, by explaining a text, by describing what it is that one should do, a student, a child. You learn in basic ways. There are methodologies in terms of how to teach. There are things, there are texts that we teach, there are lessons that we deliver, school, yeshiva, books, text, and we implant information inside of a student or inside of a child via our mouths, via teaching something, lessons. But there's another way that we teach, and that's not by what we say, but it's rather by what we do. And a child and a student who sees something, who experientially learns, but not necessarily by being told, do as I say, but rather do as I do, is enormously powerful educational tool. It's not just that a student hears something, right? Shmia and re'ia. Eino doma shmia le'ria. Hearing something is not the same as seeing it. When a child or a student sees his or her teacher do something, it's that much more powerful than when the child or the student hears the teacher say, do this because this is what you need to do. Manoach had a very big problem. And for being an Am Haaretz, he was extraordinarily wise. Because Manoach says, me? You want me to have a child who's a Nazir, who's not supposed to drink wine, who's not supposed to touch anything that's tummy, who's going to grow his hair long? Manoach says, me? I don't do that. If I don't do that, how can I expect my child to do that? How do you expect my child to stay away and abstain from wine, intoxicating beverages, to grow his hair long when he looks at his daddy and he looks at his mommy and they're not doing that? They're drinking wine. They're drinking beer. They're getting haircuts. They're touching tameh. And the father and the mother say, hey, Shimshin, you don't do that. You don't drink wine. You don't drink an intoxicating beverage. And Shimshon would say, me? Look at you. You're not doing that. What do you want from my life? Why do you want me to be a Nazir if you're not? It's hypocrisy. It's contradictory terms. That's not fair. Any home can never work like that. A parent can't tell a child what to do if the parent themselves is not doing that. You tell the child, learn. Davin, and the parent isn't davening, the parent isn't learning. Well, what do you expect from the kid? Your kid doesn't work like that. That's not how life works. It's the most counterintuitive and the most inappropriate and the most wrong way of being mechanech. That's like Aleph Beis. You can't do that. So Manoach is bothered, and therefore look again at the pasuk and see what Manoach says. Pasuk Ches. Immediately after Eishes Manoach tells his wife Manoach, Vayomila, Pasuk Zayin, Hine Charat Vilarta Bein, in Pasuk Zayin, you're going to have a child. Alvi Altish Tiyayim Meshecha, don't drink any wine or intoxicating beverage. Val Tochri Kol Tumeya, and don't eat anything that's tummy. Ki Nizir Lokim Ya Narmen Abetan Ad Yom Osa. Ki this child is going to be a Nizir Elokim Ben Abetan Ad Yom Osa. Vayater Manoach Al Hashem. Manoach turns to God. Vayomer, he says, Biaduni, Isha Lokim Ashlachti Yavuna Odalenu. Now look at the question. Vayorenu Manase Lanar Hayula. We translated that to mean, teach us, tell us, what are the halachas of this kid? Rav Schwab says that's not what Manoach is asking. Vayorenu Manase Lanar Hayula. Tell us, how are we supposed to educate this child if we're not doing it? Manase Lanar Hayula. How are we going to be able to go about educating this young man and teaching him what to do if we're not doing it? How is that possible? It's a stira. It's a contradiction. I can't live my life like that. It's wonderful that you're giving me this special, unique child. And this child is going to be Moshe and Shal Yisrael, is going to be the savior of the Jewish people. But how do you expect me to be his father? Because I'm not going to be properly educating him. And thus the Malach returns and says, aha, that's a good question you have. And in Pasuk Tes, Vayishma Elokim Mekol Manoach, he hears Manoach's question. Vayavo Malach Elokim Od El Isha, and the Malach returns again to the wife, Eshes Manoach. But now listen carefully. What does the Malach say? Return to Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomer Manoach, Ata Yavo Devarecha, Mayia Mishpat Hanar Maseyim. Tell us, what should be the conduct of this young boy? And how should he act? That's the simple definition. But we're going to explain according to Rav Schwab a little bit differently. The Manoach asks, how do we handle this kid? How do we deal with him? Because he is going to be an Azir and we're not. And here's Rav Schwab's big chiddush. Rav Schwab says the word tishamer can be translated two different ways. Tishamer literally can be translated as she, your wife, should be careful with. That's third person feminine, tishamer. But the word tishamer can also be translated in second person male. You should be careful with it. Mikol asher amarti lisha tishamer, everything that I told your wife, you too should be careful. Yes, you also, because you're right, Manoach. It's impossible for you to do something differently than the child. He's not going to succeed being a Nazir if you're going to be drinking wine, if you're going to be metame lames, if you're not going to grow your hair long. Thus, everything that I told your wife, you too should be careful with. And you continue to read the pasuk, Yudala Mikola Shayetzim Igefnayayim Lo Sochal. Says Rav Schwab, the words tochal could be translated either in third person feminine or in second person male. All that emerges from wine, you too should be careful not to drink. V'yayin b'shecher al teisht, wine in an intoxicating beverage, you yourself shouldn't drink. V'chol tmei al tochal, at any time, you too should not eat. K'chol asher tzivisi hatisha mer, everything that I told your wife, you too should be careful with. Thus, says Rav Schwab, a totally different conversation, a totally different communication, a totally different question and answer, a response that's given to Manoach by the Malach than we understood thus far. We thought that Manoach was an Amaretz and he was simply wanting to see the man of God again because he didn't trust his wife. But that's not what Manoach was asking. Manoach was asking a very deep educational question, a very deep question as a parent. How can I do and how can I build and how can I raise a young man to be a Nazir, the Moshiach of Yisrael, if I myself am not going to be following the things that I'm telling him to do? Because what a child sees is so powerful. The child is a sponge. And if the sponge is going to soak up what it sees, and if my child sees that I'm not meticulous about the rules of Naziris, how am I going to be successful in manufacturing a son who's going to be a Nazir? It's not going to work. And the Malach says, you're right, Manoach. Not just your wife, but you too need to be careful. You need to be on the same page. And you need to be guarding and watching and making sure that you're doing exactly what it is that this child is supposed to do. Because if you're not going to do it, it's not going to work. And therefore, the conclusion is that Manoach is correct, the Malach returns, and Manoach ultimately continues the path that the Malach has told him. Manoach is a Nazir, Eshes Manoach is a Nazir, and therefore Shimshon becomes a successful Nazir, and ultimately comes the Moshiach of Yisrael. That is Rav Schwab's explanation of the Haftarah. I would like to add another wrinkle, and an important wrinkle, and look back very carefully, and we're going to read these psukim. And you'll note, indeed, there is something extra that the Malach tells Manoach that he didn't tell his wife. And this is a comment of Rabbi Eliyahu Meir Bloch, the great Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, who notes the following discrepancy or addition in the second time that Manoach is spoken to by the Malach Elohim. Go back to Pasuk Yud, Zion. And in Pasuk Zion, when the Malach Elohim appears to Manoach, to Eshas Manoach, listen to what the Malach tells Eshas Manoach. Vayomelo, hinei hara v'yelat t'bein. You're going to conceive and give birth to a son. Va'ata, now al tishti yain v'eshecha. Don't drink any wine or an intoxicating beverage. Val tochli kol t'mei, and don't eat anything that's tamei. Ki nizir lo kim yeh anar min abata nir yomoso. Because your son is going to be a nazir from birth. That's what Eshas Manoach is told. Again, don't drink wine and don't drink any intoxicating beverage. Tamei, not to touch, because he's going to be a nazir mibetan. Let's turn now to what it is that the Malach Elohim tells Manoach. Turn now, please, to Pasuk Yud Dalet. First, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Malach Hashem al Manoach, the Malach tells Manoach, Mikol Asher Mati Lishi Tishamer, everything that I told your wife, you should be careful of. Now read Pasuk Yud Dalet. Mikol Asher Yetze Megefen Ayayin Lotocha, anything that emerges from the grape, you should not eat the yain v'shecher al teisht, and any wine or intoxicating beverage you shouldn't drink. Does Manoach hear the same thing as Eshes Manoach hears, or is there any difference in the message that the Malach gives Manoach as opposed to Eshes Manoach? Read the pasuk carefully. Pasuk Yedal. Mikol asher yetze megefen ayin lo sochel. Anything that emerges from the grapevine you shouldn't drink. And wine and intoxicating beverage you shouldn't drink. Compare Pasuk Yudalit, what it is that Manoach hears from the Malach, to Pasuk Zion, what Eshes Manoach hears. And you'll see there's a massive difference. Pasuk Yudbeis, Nikol asher yetze megefen ayayin lo sochel. Anything that emerges from the grapevine, don't touch or don't drink. Did Eshes Manoach hear that? Absolutely not. The only thing Eshes Manoach was told is don't drink wine or an intoxicating beverage. The Malach adds something. It's true he tells Manoach don't drink wine or intoxicating beverage, but more than that, don't touch anything that emerges from grape. Not grape lollipops, not grape ices, not grape whatever it is. Nothing that emerges from the grapevine can you have. Much more egregious, much more serious, much more severe what the Malach tells Manoach as opposed to what he tells Eshes Manoach. Eshes Manoach just told don't drink wine and don't drink an intoxicating beverage. Manoach is told Mikol Asher Yetze Megefen Hayayin Al Tov. Anything that emerges from the grapevine you shouldn't drink. Says Rabbi Elmiyahu Blach, the same exact point as Rav Schwab. Because Manoach understood that if I want my child to be successful as a Nazir, I have to do what exactly it is that I want the child to do. But if I really want the child to succeed, I'm going to do even more. I'm going to have even more extreme approach to how it is that I'm going to live my life. If I want my child not to drink wine and not to drink an intoxicating beverage, I'm going to do even more than that. I'm going to not even drink anything that comes from the grapevine. And thus, the Malach Elohim appreciates Manoach's question so much about education and about child rearing that the response of the Malach is different than he gives Eshes Manoach. So even though so far we understood, hey, the Malach isn't adding anything. What did the Malach add? You're wrong. The Malach added significantly. As opposed to Eshes Manoach, who was just told, stay away from any intoxicating beverage, to stay away from only wine, Manoach is told, go a step further. Because if you want to be successful in teaching, you want to be successful in implanting and in teaching and in uplifting and in educating a child or in educating a student, don't do exactly what it is that you want the child or the student to do. Do even more than that. You want your child to daven? Well, you got to daven better than that. You want your child to learn? You got to learn even more extreme. You want your child to perform chesed, your chesed has to be even more. And then maybe the child will pick up an eighth, a quarter, a tenth, the most minuscule amount. And that is exactly what occurred. Because Manoach went a bit further, and because Manoach was told by the Malach, stay away from everything, Therefore, the success of the childhood of Shimshon to continue to establish his life as a Nazir was so successful and was so fruitful that he ultimately became the Moshiach Shal Yisrael. But if you're going to do exactly what Daddy does, it's going to be a little bit less. But if you do a little bit more than that and you take it on even more extreme, then the guarantee is that your child will pick up a percentage of that and will take it to the next level. Here, with his background, you have a totally different way to approach the Haftorah in light of the Parsha. Yes, it's true, Shimshon was a Nazir, and therefore that's the Haftorah that's chosen for Parshas Naso, because Parshas Naso deals with a Nazir. But in light of the Maimer Chazal that we started with, Kol HaRoeh Sota B'Kilkula Yazir Atzma Min Ayayin, it's the sight, it's the vision, it's seeing something that's so, so powerful, that therefore that causes one to take upon oneself the Nazirus, because the vision, the seeing, the Eino Domeh Shmia L'Re'iya, when I see something, it has such an enormous impact on me that I have to take upon, or I'm inspired to take upon a Nazirus. That's exactly the message of this Haftorah. It's the child seeing and witnessing and experiential learning that is so much more powerful. It's much more powerful to do as I do than do as I say. We have many methodological ways of teaching a child and a student how to succeed in the gamut of things that we want them to succeed in. But when we're able to affect a change by living it and doing it and seeing those things, that's the power. Therefore, the re'iya of the sota causes the nazirus, and the re'iya of a parent following in the path of the nazirus is going to guarantee that Shimshon as well is going to be a nazir. That's the powerful connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha. That's the pshat of Rav Shimon Schwab in the conversation, the dialogue between Eishes Manoach and Manoach and Manoach and the Malach Elokim. It's the reason why the Malach Elokim returns. And that, according to Rabbi Eliyahu Meir Blach, is the reason why, really, if you read the Pesukim carefully in the text of the Pasuk, and you read the Pasuk good, very carefully, you see that the Malach told Manoach a lot more than he told Eishes Manoach. It's very reminiscent of a story, the Divrei Chaim, the great sons of Rav, was once approached by a couple and asked the couple, the couple wanted a bracha that they should have success in raising their child. And the Divrei Chaim said, "You're too late for a bracha. You should have come to me for a bracha when you were single, and when you were single, or right when you got married." He said, "What do you mean? Our child hasn't been born. Now's the time for a bracha." He said, No. You had to come to me to ask me how I could become a better person, and how I could become a better man, and how I could become a better woman. And if I would be asked that question, then I could tell you how to be a better person, then you'll automatically be better parents. Because when you're able to do what you are supposed to do, your child will see that, and that's the bracha for being a parent. The bracha for being a parent is not simply to give a bracha, you should be successful as a parent. The bracha is that you're doing a good job yourself, is that you are growing, is that you're a person who is able to understand what you are supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. And when you're living that life, and when you're doing the right things, and you're making the right moves, and you're acting accordingly, your child will pick up upon it, and that is a guarantee to be a successful parent. And it's for that reason that the Divrei Chaim said, "You're a little bit too late. You should have come to me earlier, and I could have told you how to work on yourself, and then you would be the ultimate parent." Let me just finish with a thought that I think is very worthy of mentioning here, and I'll take us back to Parshas Vayera, early in Parshas Bereishis. The Akedah, of course, is one of the most seminal events in Sefer Bereishis and probably all of Chamishei Chumshei Torah. It is the reason that it's chosen as the laming on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, what we refer to as Akedas Yitzchak. And more often than not, we look at the Akedah and from the perspective of Avram Avinu. How could it be that Avram Avinu was able to sacrifice his child? I mean, it's the most difficult test. It's the 10th Nisayon that Avraham was given, the most challenging, trying, difficult, painful test that he was given. And we try to understand how it could be that Avram overcame that. And of course, Avram was a great man. He was the Av Hamon Goyim. He was Avraham Avinu. He was Avraham HaIvri. He was Avraham Ohavi. He loved Hashem so much that he was willing to go through this test. But we often don't look at the Akedah from the perspective of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a man who was 37 years old. He's being placed on the Mizbeach. He knew he was being placed on the Mizbeach, and he was about to be sacrificed, and he doesn't say boo. So let's look at the Akedah not just from the perspective of Avraham Avinu. Let's get into the guts. Let's get into the mind and the heart of Yitzchak, who accomplished an inordinate feat. If it's the 10th Nisayon of Avram, Yitzchak's just starting his life as an Oved Hashem. How did Yitzchak do that? How is Yitzchak able to go on the Mizbeach, knew very well where he was headed, right? He understood that because he asked on the way, Ayeh HaSeh, where's the Seh Daddy? Ayeh HaEitzim, where's the wood that you're going to use to offer as a sacrifice? Yitzchak knew where he was headed. It was very obvious. It was very clear. He wasn't a 2 or 3 year old. He was 37 years old. He understood where he was. How did Yitzchak do that? Listen to this. If you look back at the life of Avraham, what were Avraham's successes? And what was the type of home that Yitzchak grew up in? What did Yitzchak see in his father? 37 years, he's sitting at the feet of his father. What did he see? Yitzchak saw his father thrown into the Kivshan in Ur Kasdim. He saw that his father was willing to be thrown into the furnace and to give his life al Kiddush Hashem when Nimrod wanted to have him perform idol worship, perform Avodah Zarah. He saw that on the way to the Akedah, as the Medrash said, he giyamayim ad nefesh, as Avraham Avinu was crossing the river and water was coming up to his throat. He continued to go on the path that God wanted him to go to offer his son as a sacrifice. Yitzchak Avinu grew up in a home where he saw his father be moser nefesh. He saw his father self-sacrifice. He saw his father willing to do for God everything and anything. And if you grow up in a home like that, if Yitzchak Avinu sees his father willing to be thrown into the Kivshan, willing to be thrown into the furnace, he sees his father passing test number one, test number two, test number three. He continues to pine and to cleave to God. If you live in such a home and you're a son of Avraham and your name is Yitzchak, it's no coincidence anymore that Yitzchak is able to be placed on the Mizbeach and simply do what it is that's asked of him. Avraham doesn't say, do this. This is what you have to do. This is what you must do. Yitzchak understands. This is the life that we live. This is who my father is. My father is the founder of monotheism. My father is teaching the world what it means to be Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I see what my father has done. Yitzchak is the ultimate student and child of his father and is the paradigm of the lessons of this Haftorah. Not do as I say, but do as I do. And exactly Manoach's problem is Avraham's response. His beautiful ability to be able to see his father living the life that he lives allows Yitzchak to simply stand and get up and to mount the altar and give his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's what he sees his father do. And that's what allows it to be a very successful mission. And that is how Yitzchak is able to maneuver, to manipulate, and to successfully be able to be offered as a korban. Because it's the lessons of experience, it's the lessons of vision, of seeing something that's the most powerful educational tool. And therefore Yitzchak is able to be successful, and therefore Shimshon is able to be successful. Because Yitzchak is the son of Avraham and Sarah, and Shimshon is the son of Manoach and Eshes Manoach, who lived and did exactly what they expected of their children, not because this is what I think you should do, and this is what I'm telling you to do, because this is what we do, and this is our home, this is our bumper sticker, and we live this life of chesed, of Torah, and tefillah, of avodah. And always, and of course, it's obvious that any child who grows up in a house like this and sees these things happening will be able to continue to follow the performance of their parents and to follow in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly it's worthy of reviewing, contemplating, anytime we talk about education, anytime we talk about child rearing, the question of what's referred to today in modern psychology as modeling is really the backdrop of everything that we see in the Haftarah, is everything that we see in the Parsha, and modeling is something that we have to be able to do for our community, for our children. Just finished with a very interesting story. There was Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian, I think, once saw a father reprimanding his child, telling him to daven. And he carefully spoke to the father at the appropriate time and says, just daven. If you daven, your child will daven. Don't tell your child to daven. Just do what you're supposed to do. If you do what you're supposed to do, things will go the right way. And that's what we refer to as modeling. That's Manoach and Eishes Manoach, that's Yitzchak, and that's Avram and Sarah. We should be zochet to continue to model for our families, for our community, and for all of Klal Yisrael. Wishing you a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. Take care. Shavua Tov to everybody.